Every day there's redesigns on the things that we use. You know, apps, can openers, smartphones, and dishwashers even. Few things are static, but then there's the wine bottle. Now, that design is still back in the 1800s. Ray Isle, executive wine editor for Food & Wine magazine, has recently unearthed some innovative and perhaps wacky ideas for wine bottles redo. But wacky though some may be, they could be the beginning of a paradigm shift in the wine world. Ray, good to have you back.
Well, it's great to be here, Lynn. Thanks.
So let's just briefly, before we get to the new ideas, can you briefly explain the shapes of wine bottles that we see on the shelves, and why
Absolutely.
Are they that way?
Well, they're that way. There's two basic shapes, let's say, you know, which is the Bordeaux bottle and the Burgundy bottle. The Bordeaux bottle is the one you see Cabernets in that has the kind of more square-shouldered bottle, and the Burgundy one is the what you see Chardonnays in. That's a smoother bottle. The Bordeaux bottle was designed essentially to catch sediment. You have the neck of the bottle and that little outcrop, and that's when you pour, that catches the sediment in the bottle. But, you know, what's interesting is the sort of standardized size of the bottle, which we all take for granted, you know, 750 milliliters, it wasn't really standardized until you get the Industrial Revolution. And it comes out of basically the size of a lungful of a glass blower, you know, of air from
a glass really?
Blower. That's basically how they initially came up with it. It's like, this is what I can exhale, and so that's the size of your bottle. Here you go.
But it's handy. It's
yeah, it works out well. And it's, you know, it's funny because there was so – because until the 1800s, there was so much variation in bottle size. In England, for instance, it was illegal to sell – wine in bottles until the 1860s because everybody's getting ripped off by people subtly changing the size of the bottle and had to be sold by the measure and then put into a bottle.
Yeah.
You know, the development of glass bottles was what allowed wine to be put down and aged over time and develop over time. Before that, you had wine was stored in barrels or in clay pots, you know, these long, thin amphorae in the sort of, you know, classical ancient world. It wasn't something aged over time because there wasn't a way to do it. So the development of the standardized glass bottle had played a huge role in that. It is something that's changed over the years. It's been pretty steady for the past couple of hundred, but now there's all this new technology coming along and concerns about environmental cost of weight of bottles and things like that. So it's kind of a fascinating, you know, moment of possible paradigm shift.
Well, can you walk us through? There are these designs that I found on the Food & Wine website that are imagined, but some of them look like at least there's a prototype. You think you can paint a portrait to explain to us what they are?
Sure. We picked a couple of things out of the market that were interesting, and we also went to a couple of design firms and said, essentially, if you were going to rethink the wine bottle, what would you do? So one of the first ones we pulled is from a winery called Truett Hurst, which is – and this is actually out in the market, Paperboy Wines, and it's a recycled paper bottle. It has a – it's a bottle shape, but it's made out of recycled paper with a thin plastic film inside. It's 100% recyclable cardboard bottles. They're 85% lighter than glass, but they actually have a screw top on, and they look weirdly like a bottle. And then – we went to a company called Ferrone Design out of Chicago, and they came up with – it's like a slope-shouldered wine bottle with an angled neck where the cork goes in. You know, everybody's had this problem where you pour wine out of the bottle and it drips
yeah,
all over the place.
Yeah.
So their thought was, well, why not come up with a wine bottle that actually doesn't drip? It's a little like the cup holder in a car where you think, how did it take us 60 years to come up with this? So I like the idea of a wine bottle that doesn't drip. And then we also went to – Malfatti Glass, which does kind of what beautiful glass, tabletop glassware and things. And they just came up with this nifty idea of having little single-serving bottles that are in the shape of the letters W-I-N-E with a little cork stuck in it where you could place them on the table. Everybody'd have their own letter. It's kind of a nifty idea.
I like that. You know, I like that a lot.
It's a lot of fun. And another one we got from a design studio called Minimalist, and this is floating on some of the web design sites, called Vin Grace, and it's a you've seen the standard sort of square tetrapack, and this is more of a triangular plane. This is a hard one to describe without the visual.
Yeah, it's almost like a hexagon within a rectangle.
Yeah, and very, very cool and modern looking black and white packaging, you know, an angular cut corner so you, again, minimize drips.
Okay, with the concerns over carbon footprints and the concerns over keeping wine at its very best, what do you predict the future is going to be for the wine bottle?
Well, it's an interesting question because in terms of environmental concerns, there's no question that something like a Tetra Pak, which is so much lighter, is, you know,
those are the box wines, right?
Those are the box wines, yeah, or the little individual 1 liter size wines like you see, like the Bandit brand, Bandit Pinot Grigio or Yellow and Blue Malbec. You know, without question, they have a lighter carbon footprint because they just don't cost as much to ship because you're not shipping tons and tons of glass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, In 1,000 cases of wine, it's about 12,000 pounds of glass. 1,000 cases of Tetra Pak wine is about a 12th of that. That said, in terms of aging high-end fine wine, glass is still the most neutral, best solution they've come up with. Because what you want is something that doesn't interact with the wine over time. And one interesting thing that the Champagne region has done is essentially the standardized bottle that is approved by the region for use. A couple of years ago, they redesigned it and shaved off about 2.5 ounces by thinning the neck slightly, changing the slope of the shoulder. And you know, champagne bottles are heavy to begin with, so they don't blow up because they're full of champagne. They're under pressure. But just by reducing the kind of contours of the bottle, they cut off about 2.5 ounces of weight. And if you look at champagne producing 300 million or more bottles a year, that's actually a fair amount of carbon footprint that got cut off by very subtle changes.
Ray, what about corks? We have glass. We have plastic corks. We have the traditional cork. What's happening?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The pressure on the cork industry from the kind of mass adoption of screw-top closures has actually caused the quality of corks to climb back up again. The problem with corks is that a certain small percentage of them, they taint the character of the wine. They make it smell a little bit like cardboard or a lot like cardboard if it's particularly bad. And that got pretty bad for a while. The adoption of screw caps by higher end wines, by not your basic, you know, bottom of the basement plonk. You know, that was a response to winemakers saying, you know, I'm tired of these corks messing up my wine. But at the same time, you've got nifty things like these glass stoppers with a little gasket. They first appeared in Austria, I think, and you see them especially in white wines. And you've also seen a change in screw tops. Both the technology of screw tops has gotten so smart in a sense that as a producer, you can buy screw tops. You can kind of dial in the amount of oxygen transmission over time with a screw top. You buy a certain level of oxygen transmission. So in a sense, it mimics a cork because corks are a little bit transparent to oxygen. That's part of how wine ages. So that's fascinating. The other thing is they've also just refined the way they look. You've got a very streamlined, you know, nice smooth-sided design. It doesn't look like a screw top. we think of the key thing about wine as being the wine in the bottle. But actually, the package that surrounds it is kind of fascinating in a lot of ways. Who knows what will come next? It's an energy field that will surround your wine and age it over time.
And it'll float in midair.
Yeah, or a fourth-dimensional bottle that sort of stores your wine in outer space somewhere.
Ray, as always, fascinating stuff. Thank you.
Thanks, Lynn. It's great to be here.
Ray Isle is executive wine editor of Food & Wine magazine.